Easter isn't. He's coming back. Just a reminder. Matthew chapter 20 something. 28. Today, as you might guess, we're going to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about a few places in the Bible where three words are used that are interesting, and this isn't deeply spiritually significant, but one I was going to say we're going to look at three words today. The first option we would have to look at three words is were the first words uttered in the New Testament, which is, "Where is he?" And those were spoken by Gentiles who were looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the birth, and they said, "Where is he?" And there's more to it, that phrase, but first few words. The other words you could look at is, "It is finished." Another important words. So all those words, "Where is he?" and "It is finished," all eventually lead to the three words we're going to look at, which is, "He is risen." That was an interesting way to look at it. Now, we're all aware of David's words in the book of Psalms and other places that talk about the Messiah, when he would come, he would not see corruption, but that he would be raised from the dead. That wasn't a mystery. That was well known. We know that he would be the perfect Passover lamb, chosen, prepared, and killed at the same time as the weekly Passover was being prepared and killed. That there will be no bone of his body broken, just like in the Passover. These are all things that we know. That in the approach to that death that he suffered, that he would be beaten beyond human recognition, beyond recognition as a human being, according to the words of the prophet Isaiah. We know that. And then that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, according to Jonah, the prophet, and other places. And then that God would raise him from the dead, as recorded in Scripture. There were things that he was going to go through, and they're all prophesied, and they all happened just as the prophecies said that they would of the Messiah, including the one that we're going to look at today, which is that God raised him from the dead. And in Matthew 28 is where we'll start, verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples a word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. We have your backs. So they took the money, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Until this day being the day when the Gospels were written. And so God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Very clear. And immediately upon the resurrection, the adversary wanted no one to know that there had been a resurrection. In Mark 16, so they came up with a story, a cover-up, which is nothing, which I'm glad the politicians of our day and time don't do things like that anymore. It's figure speech. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. You know, we're not going to look at all the details of the resurrection, but you know, you see people involved, and some believe that he was going to get raised, some didn't believe he was going to get raised. You know, we're not looking at all that, but you know, but these women obviously, you know, they weren't really convinced because they were going to anoint the body for the burial. Whereas when you have other people like Joseph and Arimathea who wrapped him in linen clothes and put him in the cave, they didn't do that because they believed that he was going to be raised. And so you have a lot of things going on. Verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, who shall roll us this away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And they looked, they thought the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. It's an interesting thing to be recorded here, isn't it? I was wondering, why is that recorded here? Anyway. And she went and told him that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Those, if you want to read that record, you know, it's in Luke chapter 24. Those men on the road to Emmaus, we're not going to look at today. But where he appeared to them and taught them God's word. It says, out of the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets, about everything regarding him. That's what he's referring to here. What a great, wonderful opportunity that would have been. So that's what verse 12 is referring to. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. They didn't believe him. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief. Thomas was the one not present here. And Judas was still there. And hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. By the way, one of the biggest activities that Jesus Christ got up to after he was raised from the dead was teaching the Bible, teaching God's word, which, by the way, was the activity that he was all about while he was alive. Right? See, it's interesting. Even Luke 24, when you read that record, they got so excited. It says their heart burned within them. Not because they'd seen him, but when he opened to them the scriptures. They said, didn't our hearts burn? They got really excited about the word of God. So that tells you that you don't have to have seen the risen Christ to be thankful and excited and to believe what's written regarding the resurrection as it impacts us today. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But that's not fair. That's not politically correct. And these signs, who cares, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. You know, sometimes a lot of people might even believe in the resurrection, But it didn't stop with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know God raised him from the dead. We speak in tongues. Wouldn't be possible if he hadn't raised him from the dead. But here, even verse 19 says he sat. But that was just the beginning of his new ministry that he had. He's resurrected. He was raised from the dead. But it goes way beyond the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us. Verse 20 even says that. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord, who's working with them? The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. See, Jesus Christ has a very defined, specific, and clear ministry after God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. From that point, he's got work to do. It's not that, you know, oh, God raised him, great, okay. He, you know, we sing that song, we serve a risen Savior, you know, a living Savior, right? Living Savior. He's a risen Savior. He's a living Savior. We serve a Savior who is alive. He is living today. And he has a very defined ministry of which we are a part. Look at Acts chapter 2. So yes, resurrection, fantastic. For all that it leads to, more fantastic. I'm not sure I can think of a more greater superlative, but even more fantastic. You know. Acts 2:22, as we mentioned, the word David. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Old Testament, Psalm 16. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake to you, and even God's word tells us what the prophecy means. He, seeing this, spake before of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So there's no mistake about it. It explains right there what he was talking about. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, as soon as he had been exalted, as soon as he had been seated, as soon as he had been raised on, he started his ministry immediately. And one of the first things he did was what? He shed forth Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It says right there. He received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he shed forth this which ye now see and hear. A very well-defined ministry. You see, Jesus Christ is no longer just a man, is he? He has a spiritual body. He's different from when he was walking the earth. Otherwise, how could he possibly be head of a body which spans the globe? He has a very defined ministry, and he's been given the responsibility, authority, and power to do what's required as head of that body. Starting right here. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, for all you are the dead alive now fans, such a great verse. David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. A little hinting to Ephesians there in verse 35. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Boy, he's seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, head of the body, but very, very active in his ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the resurrection was the start of it all. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. You know, a lot of ministries, a lot of religious groups, and a lot of other ways of believing, they, you know, bow down to their martyrs, and they say, wow, wasn't he a great man? He died for us. And, you know, they put flowers and wreaths around his picture and his grave and all this stuff. But Jesus Christ wasn't just a martyr. It says here, he died and what? And rose again. He's the only one of all religious leaders. I hate calling Jesus Christ a religious leader. It just makes me nauseous to think about that. He's the one that God raised from the dead. He didn't just die for mankind. God raised him from the dead. So he's alive, which is not true for all the ones that are made of stone and wood and metal and all those other things that are worshipped around the faces of the earth, face of the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have to go there. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He taught them that. And that he was buried, he taught them that. And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. All this was according to prophecy. And that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren. This is the only place that I know of that this is recorded. At once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, the argument here is interesting, and it's worthy for us to think about what he's saying, and just go back after we see his conclusion. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So if there's no such thing as the dead being raised and Christ is not raised. And if Christ isn't risen, then our preaching is vain. And your believing is also vain. We might as well go and eat lunch right now. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. So false witnesses, because we're saying that God, testifying of God, that he raised up Christ, so he raised him not if the dead don't rise. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. So all that redemption and all that stuff is not true. It's just a lie. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So all those people who had faith or believing in the coming of the Messiah someday, and they looked forward to that and all that he would accomplish, and they were told he was going to be raised from the dead, and, well, it never happened. It's all just vain, perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable, or worthy. What's the translation of that is pity, more to be pitied than anybody. So that whole section there is interesting and pretty depressing if Christ be not raised. But, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, guess what? Christ is raised. Verse 14. Our preaching is not in vain. Our believing is not in vain. We are not false witnesses of God, and we can continue to would boldly testify of the resurrection of Christ because he is raised. All those who died believing in Christ did not perish in vain. Their hope was steadfast and sure, and someday they're going to be with him. You are not in your sins. You have been redeemed. You've been made righteous. You see, you have to go back and look at all those arguments that he just raised and say, well, the contrary to all that is true. Okay. The resurrection of Christ is pivotal, obviously, because I mean, Paul just says that here's all things that we believe as believers, and those who, by the way, were looking for the Messiah believed also, and things we're looking forward to in the future. They're all around one event, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who, when they were picking the replacement for the apostle, what was the one thing that he had to have seen? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The religious leaders were grieved at the teaching of the resurrection. Some mocked. Some said it was past already and shipwrecked the believing of people. You see how pivotal the resurrection is? Christ was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. It was by the resurrection that God gave assurance to all men that this is the one, and it is by him that the world will be judged. Jesus Christ. That was by the resurrection. Every witnessing incident in the book of Acts mentions the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And interesting. That means that when we speak the word of God to people, we probably want to bring up the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ you get born again, is it not? Believe and make Jesus your Lord, and God what? Raised him from the dead. It is pivotal to all that we believe and all that leads to the blessings in God's word. We were justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We walk in newness of life by the resurrection of Jesus Christ because we were raised with him, and we've also been delivered from the wrath to come by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we, today, you know, as we've said in the past, and I love this expression that was coined, I guess, years ago, we stand on resurrection ground. And I think of that, you know, working for the military, I think of that when a military takes a piece of land, let's say they take a hill, you know, is that a trumpet? close. If they take a hill, one of the things you're supposed to do when you're advancing, I saw that movie Hacksaw Ridge. Let me see that. No, you take this spot, right? And you wanna, what you're supposed to do is you're not supposed to take it and then retreat. You're supposed to take it and you're supposed to hold the hill or hold the ground that you've got. Now I always picture the resurrection of Christ that way. Resurrection ground. Jesus Christ took the hill, okay? We didn't take it. He took it. But then God said, guess what? You make him your Lord, and you're allowed to stand here on this hill with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I picture the adversary as guys with picks trying to cut away at that ground, that resurrection ground you have. You know, and that's me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in who? In the Lord, in Christ Jesus. You don't stand on resurrection ground without the Lord. He's there with you. Ephesians puts it by saying, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But guess what he gave you? Righteousness. No one has the right to pick away at your righteousness and say you're a sinner. Oh, we'll always be just lowly sinners. How many times, even the last year, have I heard people say that? You know, we're just broken people, broken down, you know, of no use. Oh, are we just off, for flip sakes? No, that's fair speech. You know, resurrection ground, redeemed, righteous, right? That's resurrection ground. And we stand there. Don't let anybody pick away at that ground Jesus Christ bought for you. He paid dearly for you. Sanctified, set apart. Set apart from the common lot of man to be those who are bound for heaven. No one can stop you. Nothing can stop you. Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's resurrection ground. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know this verse. I know you. I'm sure most can quote this from memory. And if you can't, you ought to be able to. That's a little dig there for you. Know, I mentioned earlier that when one of the things that it says in the Word of God, and we didn't look at it today, but one of the things that happened on the way to the resurrection was that he was beaten, according to Isaiah, beyond being recognized as a human being. Well, that wasn't just for fun, okay? That's kind of cool. It's 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You know, he had those, you know, skin flaying stripes being thrown at him to open his flesh up and bleed, and the thorns crushed into his head, and all that stuff happened to him, so you don't have to, so I don't have to. You know, when every time that we suffer physically, and it happens, I know that, you know, a bit of that resurrection ground gets torn away from us. Well, we have to get back up and say, look, by his stripes, I was healed. That's my ground. You, adversary, have no right over me because I stand right here on this hill. By the way, right beside me is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can look up between his legs if you feel better. It makes you feel better. When kids do that, when they're scared of something, they go behind the guy's legs, right? They look, you know. He just says, no, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, resurrection ground, that's where we stand. So when we're thinking about healing and deliverance, you need something. Well, drive that into your mind. You know, Christ did it for us. Ephesians chapter 1, again, I have to go, we just looked at it in the last few months, but Ephesians chapter 1. Boy, and who's there? Whose ministry has been activated? Who is actively working to make sure that we don't lose that ground? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a really clear ministry, you know. Did you ever wonder how he could direct the body if he was just a man now? Just a simple man. He's not, right? Spiritual being, spiritual body, unlimited. And even on the road to Emmaus, when they saw him, and they were eating bread together, remember that? They were eating bread together, and they said, oh, we know who he is. What did he do? Just vanished. Right. I'm surprised they still believe they've seen him after that, but they did. It's good. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's when that power was wrought in Christ. That's why the rest of the verse, and set him at his own right hand, the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet. He's on that hill. He's got the high ground. Everything is under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, that filleth all abilities in all believers. In Philippians, the way Philippians puts it, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And Paul even writes in there, for I like, you know, he wanted to know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, it's all related. God is so wonderful, so gracious. It's not complicated. The power, he wrought it in Christ. He said, you're entitled to it. He's your head. Make good use of it. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. At his name, every knee must bow. By the way, by his stripes, you're healed. You're redeemed. You're going to be with me forever. I'm going to send my son back. I'm going to collect you. We're going to be together forever. Don't ever lose sight of any of that in what I have purchased for you by the death of my son and resurrection. That's resurrection ground. And Jesus Christ's ministry now is to make sure you and I hold that ground. We stand there day by day. We'll close in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, chapter 4. It's interesting how many, what we might call very familiar sections of Scripture to us, and in all of them, the resurrection shows up. It's really, it's vital for us to remember, not just, it's Resurrection Sunday and all that, but every day of your life, every day of my life, we ought to recognize and be thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And any person we have the opportunity to speak to, look, Christ was raised for you. He was raised for you. Now, you may not accept that, but he was raised for you. And if you do, there's a lot of blessings that flow from that. You may not want to say right away, if you don't, you're damned, but that's, you don't need that alone. 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and what? Rose again. See, the resurrection. That Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. Again, Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 15. Remember he said that if he didn't, well, this is all a waste of time, but apparently he did get raised from death. Jim Nichols told me that. Thankfully, he was quoting Scripture. 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Remember that? He was the first fruit in 1 Corinthians. First fruits means there are other fruits coming, later fruits. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, Peter puts it by saying, he has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So resurrection of Christ, pivotal to a believer's walk, to a believer's beginning. And pivotal to all the power that is available to a believer, because God wrought that in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he gave him a ministry which now assists his people day by day to keep the resurrection ground that was purchased for us. So, we ought to be so thankful and blessed to God for the resurrection of his wonderful son, Jesus Christ.